Wasn't that beautiful just hearing about redemption? And that just some of the stuff that was shared about prison here, redemption, I was thinking about Jacob in his Bible study. He said about standing with Christ. Isn't that when we can stand with Christ is once we've been redeemed? Isn't that beautiful? We can't stand with Christ until we've been redeemed. Isn't that a beautiful story? This morning, I wanted to look at the cost of following Jesus. You know, we see scriptures like Romans 6:23 that says, wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when I say the cost of following Jesus and we see a free gift, how does that work? If salvation is free, why is there a cost of following Jesus? Maybe just before we get into the message here, let's just pause before God and just pray. Jesus, this morning we recognize that you're truth. And because of that, we want to focus on you. Lord, we pray that as we look at your word today, the Holy Spirit would administer conviction to our hearts, grace, hope, and faith. Father, I pray that we would be able to look at a couple verses here, be able to apply them to our lives, and find healing. Father, I would just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I ask you about commitment, am I on here? When I ask you about commitment, how many of you are committed to something? How many of you have commitment in your heart? Like high, commit to go up high. Everybody's committed, right? Dictionary definition of commitment here, I have the state of quality of being dedicated to a cause or activity. Another form of commitment is an engagement or obligation that restricts freedom of action. Like example, this morning, Matt had contacted me, wondered if I want to share. Well, if I committed to sharing, I couldn't stay at home and sleep, right? Does that make sense to you guys? If I commit to do something, there is certain things I can't do because of my commitment. 500 years ago, there was a guy named Hernan Cortes. He made a commitment. He went from Spain, he sailed from Spain to Cuba, and then to Mexico. And then with all his guys, he crawled off the ship, and he burned the ship. That was a lot of commitment to stay in Mexico, wasn't it? We look at something like that and say, he had this ship to go from Spain to Cuba, Cuba to Mexico. It was destroyed. He had no means of going back again on the way he came. He had a commitment to stay there. If we think about commitment, we need commitment for survival. We need commitment for just development. If you think about this, the story is that as a one-year-old, I weighed 30 pounds, believe it or not. And if I started walking and I fell, what would have happened if I had zero commitment? I would have gotten 60, 120, 240, 360, 360 pounds sitting in bed drinking milk, right? Like, we need commitment for development. And if we think, any of us thinks that we don't have commitment, we don't recognize what it is. This morning, I want to look at a couple scriptures in Luke 9. And in these scriptures, I want to address three different things. We want to learn three lessons of life. One is a way to walk in freedom and not be distracted by the temptation of sin. Another is a way not to despair when we fail our own expectations or sin. Another is when we have, you know, sometimes we have convictions that are wrong. And to have the ability to trade them in for Jesus' convictions. Those three things is what we want to look at this morning. So if you turn to Luke 9, just a little bit of a background, we see in Luke 9 he starts with sending out his 12 disciples. Then Herod goes, "Who's this guy?" Jesus feeds the 5,000. Then Jesus asks, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "You're Christ the God, Christ of God." And then Jesus says he's going to die, says you got to take up your cross if you're going to follow me. And then they go up in the mountain, Peter, James, and John, and a cloud overshadows them, and Moses and Elijah show up, and God says, "Hear him. This is my son who I love. Listen to him." And from there, Jesus heals unclean spirit, talks again about that he's going to die. And then the disciples, they go like, "Who's going to be the greatest?" Like, seems like they're not really getting what Jesus' mission is. And then they say, "You know what? Over here, there's a guy preaching about preaching and healing." And Jesus said, if he's not against us, then just let him go. And then in Luke 9, verse 51, he goes into a Samaritan village, and they reject his message. And then verse 57 is where I want to start, is that if we think about commitment, so they were going along a road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." That's pretty exciting, right? If Jesus is preaching and somebody says, "I will follow you wherever you go," like he's got a follower, right? But Jesus said, you know, like Jesus looked at this man, I think he recognized that the man's heart, the man wanted what was truth, but he recognized that he might not understand it. And he said, "Foxes have holes. Foxes have holes. Foxes have a place of safety where they can go. When a predator comes, they can disappear." I remember as a child, I was probably 10, 14 years old, I don't know. We tried to dig a foxhole out. There was cubs there. And you know what? The fox could go disappear. We put hundreds of gallons of water in, but luckily the nest, I think, was up higher than the hole, and they disappeared. They were a safe place. Birds have nests. Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. Like, when they're tired of flying, they go to their nest and they can rest. But he said, "Son of God, I've got no place to lay my head." Think about this. If you're going to engage in the kingdom of God, you can't punch out. There is a rest in Jesus. But when we get tired, like if we've committed to follow God, we can just say, "Oh, I'm tired and give up." That's not how it works. Jesus is saying, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man, he has no place to lay his head." And then the guy had to make a decision, right? Scripture doesn't say if he followed Jesus or if he went away. We read of the rich man, rich young ruler, he went away. But this morning, we know that if we're going to engage in the kingdom, we're going to be a child of God, we can't punch out. We might have punched out in life. But Jesus said to another man here, he said, "Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, he said, "Follow me." And that goes across to every individual here. You know, it's to the king of the land. It's to us as believers. It's to the lowest of civilization. If you ever think about a homeless person, do you know what dignity has been taken from them to not have a place to sleep? Have you ever thought about that? But this call to follow him is for everyone. You know, we might say, and it also doesn't, our social status doesn't change. The call remains for us. Have you ever been in an environment that you were put to test if you're going to follow Jesus? The scripture says that a person that is a hireling, when he faces tough times like that, he's in for what he's going to get out. He's not in for the glory of God, so he's going to leave. And another thing that we sometimes cease to follow is, how many of you have failed? After you have made a commitment to Jesus, you failed in your life. You sinned. You've fallen. And in our minds, we think, we realize, we recognize, we come to grips of our sin. But we think, you know what? Jesus, I got to prove to you that I'm capable of walking a godly life before you can accept me. Has anybody ever thought something like that? I have. And that is so wrong. It is so wrong. Because think about this. How could we prove to Jesus that we can do something when it is his strength that actually delivers us? Those are things that we sometimes believe in. But Jesus said, follow me. And then this guy that Jesus said he's supposed to follow, you know what he said? He said, let me go bury my father. Let me go bury my father. Why do we bury somebody? Why do we bury somebody? I hope this is not too morbid, but if I die, I hope you bury me within 3 days, because after that, it's just going to deteriorate, right? It's going to get bad, right? And so Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. You go preach the kingdom. But do we sometimes in our own lives protect? When Jesus calls us, we try to hide some stuff in our life, maybe, that is morbid, right? We try to cover it so nobody finds out about it. Or we maybe do that for somebody else. Instead of saying, you know what, here we are. God redeem us. Imagine this afternoon. Like that, and that's for everybody. But just imagine this afternoon. If when church is over, we pull out our phones and the news headline reads that Trudeau decides to trust in God and he didn't need to, he exposes his corruption in his government. He doesn't need to shuffle the cabinet anymore. Like, what would the world leaders say if they'd see that? What would they see that? Would that bring glory to God? I think it would, right? But Jake mentioned this morning, write down three things or something that you face in your life. What if we as individuals, instead of putting a pressure on others and ourselves to perform, we'd say, this is where we are. This is my three lists. I had anger and pride on there. Like, what if we'd be real with each other? What if we'd stop burying our dead? What if we'd stop covering stuff like that, but we'd go and minister hope and peace and grace to each other? And after this was done, another guy comes up and says, I will follow you, but let me first say farewell to those of my home. Have you ever thought when God really spoke to you deeply that, okay, I'm going to follow you, God. I'm going to follow you. But I want to first go back and explain to my family maybe why I'm going to follow you, maybe to my friends, like, do you not understand? Now I'm going to come follow you. Do you think that would work? Do you think that would work? Is that following Jesus? Is that following Jesus? If we have to get everything in a perfect line to follow Jesus, where's the trust? Where's the trust that we have that Jesus is actually able to pull through for us? But you know what Jesus said after that? This is the verse that I want really to bring out today. He cuts through all the drama and the prestige and everything. He says, no one. So that means, like here in this building, zero. Nobody that puts their hand, that makes a decision to follow Christ, nobody that puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. I like to put in there, is qualified. You know, if no matter what we've done, no matter how good or how bad, nobody is equipped to overcome temptation, overcome sin, or not despair If we don't commit completely, 100%, if you do not go 100%, we're not ready. We're not equipped. We're not going to make it. Like, if you think that in our culture, we would like to believe we can be 99% Christian. But this verse here says, no one that puts a hand to the plow, no one is fit for the kingdom of God. No one is prepared. Nobody's qualified. Nobody's ready if that's what we're going to do. No one who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit, is qualified, is prepared, approved, ready for the kingdom of God. Think about it. If we think that we can make it at 99% committed, are we smarter than God? Like, how foolish, how dumb is that? Like, if we really stop and think about it, unless we go 100% route, we will not be qualified to resist temptation. We will not be qualified to follow Jesus again after falling. We will not be qualified to repent when we have made personal commitments that were wrong. I want to now go back in Luke 9, verse 57. It says, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. Has anybody here ever seen somebody not respond to Christ? Anybody ever seen somebody not respond to Christ? You know what the disciples did? Like, they had committed. They left family. They left their jobs. They were 100% committed for Jesus, right? They thought so. We do too in our lives. But here, they saw somebody that didn't respond to Jesus' teaching, didn't accept it. And you know what they went? Fire from heaven. Shall we burn them up, right? Sometimes in our lives, in our hearts, when we see somebody not responding, we go like, Lord, expose it. Bring it to light. Instead of being redemptive. See, when a person is redeemed, it's all going to come to light anyhow, right? Redemption has to be more important than the exposure of it. And that's something that God actually has been working in my own life, that I have had desire to have things exposed so people would know, but my heart wasn't redemptive toward that. And if we're going to be successful in our Christian life, we have to commit that when Jesus rebukes us for calling fire down, we say, you know what, you're right, because I'm going to follow you. I'm 100% here. It's not about me. It's about your glory. And I want you to think about this. Would Jesus have come down to the earth to say to us that, you know what, if you're not 100% in, I'm going to reject you? He's not saying this as condemnation to us. He's saying as, you know, here's a secret, here's a key. Here's a key to success in life, but you got to come all in. Do you want to overcome, to live above? Then this is a truth that Jesus wants you to understand. No one, not one person in here, nobody. Nobody's going to have a chance of being successful in the kingdom. If they put their hand to the plow, if they go plowing, and they look back, it's not going to happen. You can't be a partial Christian. I want to close with Matthew 11, verse 15. It says, you know, Jesus doesn't speak condemnation to us. He says, he who has ears to hear, hear. What he's really saying, you know, if anything this morning that I said, just a couple scripture verses, if anything has resonated in your heart, respond. That's all. That's all. That's all he wants from you. God bless.